The word unmovable means to be totally stationary, immobile. It has the idea of when being attacked, that you don't give up any ground. That you are determined. That the victory has already been won, and I'm determined to be immovable. I'm going to root down. I'm going to ground down, and nothing is going to move me. That toxic relationship is not going to move me. When it seems like I'm running out of finances, that's not going to move me. When it seems like I'm being persecuted, that's not going to move me from my God.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of We're a Winner. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of We're a Winner.
Tattoo already on mind before on body. Tattoo already on mind. Before our own body. Some of y'all need to get this message, and maybe not for you. You might not be a loser, but you might need to get this message and share it with somebody else. Because I'm sure all of us see people that are struggling. They're floundering, they're wandering around without any commitment or any purpose or any direction in life. They are not dedicated to anything. And first and foremost, we as Christians are dedicated to Jesus Christ. But above and beyond that, what cause are you dedicated to? David, when he saw the armies of God being taunted by the giant Goliath, he went out there and he said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that taunts the armies of the living God?" And his brother said, "Look, just go back home and watch those sheep." And David said, "Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Is there not a reason to fight? Don't you have a reason to fight? What are you dedicated to? What are you standing for? For the cause of Christ. You already got the victory. All you got to do is walk in the victory. Find the cause and get busy about what God would have you to do." See, some people are fighting causes, but they're fighting the wrong cause. Fighting the cause of how to destroy things, how to tear things down. But you got to find a good and godly cause. Like, don't be like the man who was taking this load of penguins, 500 penguins. He was taking them to be delivered to this one place, and his truck broke down. And another man came along, and he said, "Man, you got a truck." He said, "Can you take these penguins?" He gave him, you know, all the information to give the man, and he paid him $1,000 to take the penguins and deliver them. So he got his truck fixed. The next day, he saw the man walking down the street with the penguins. He jumped out of it. He said, I thought I told you to take these penguins and deliver them. I thought I told you to take these penguins. I paid you money to take these penguins and deliver them." He said, "Well, when you gave me the money," he said, "I did take them somewhere. I took them to the movies. And after that, we went to the park. And I used the $1,000 that you gave me." He misunderstood what he was supposed to be about. And there's a lot of God's people misunderstand. You're doing something that God hasn't told you to do. You're fighting a cause that God never told you to fight. And you think that you are God's trooper. You think that God, you are God's ranger. That's why we need to understand what it is that God wants us to do. And he has a call. Yesterday in the leadership meeting, we talked about spiritual gifts. And we talked about the gift of leadership and how that everybody in the leadership position to some degree has the gift of leadership. And God in Romans has gifted every one of you with some kind of gift. And you need to understand what your gifting is, and then you need to be busy trying to find out what God has called you to. There needs to be a dedication And when I think about this, somebody that stands out in my mind is Daniel in the Old Testament. Turn to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. Oh, thank you. Daniel chapter 6. When you think about dedication, and Daniel prayed to the Lord, and he kneeled and he bowed down 3 times a day to pray. And the king issued a decree that nobody should pray to anybody else except him over those 3 days. But Daniel was dedicated. And in verse 10, Daniel knew that if you prayed to any other god, that you would be thrown into the lion's den. And in verse 10, it says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, and that is where the Jewish people felt the presence of God was in the temple, in the tabernacle, he kneeled. Now this is deep. This is deep. Watch this. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he had always done, as he has always done. That the fact that he was threatened with being thrown into the lion's den did not shake his dedication, that he remained dedicated. He remained steadfast. What about you? What about you? So often we are quick to throw up our hands. We are quick to give up when God has called us to do something. We need to get the spirit of Daniel down inside of us, that despite the fact that I'm going to be thrown into a lion's den, I'm not trying to hide this thing, that he opened up his windows. He prayed 3 times a day like he always did. That's dedication. That's dedication. And all the race has already been won. All we got to do is stay in it. And one of the things that we do is that we are dedicated. Dedicated. The second thing that's a characteristic of a winner is they have a stalwart determination. And that means that they are, be ye steadfast, unmovable. Unmovable. The word unmovable means to be totally stationary, immobile. It has the idea of when being attacked, that you don't give up any ground. That you are determined, that the victory has already been won, and I'm determined to be immovable. I'm going to root down, I'm going to ground down, and nothing is going to move me. That toxic relationship is not going to move me. When it seems like I'm running out of finances, that's not going to move me. When it seems like I'm being persecuted, that's not going to move me from my God. You got to be rooted and grounded. You've got to be determined. Look at Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8. Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8, where Daniel and his 3 friends were taken from Jerusalem into Babylon. They changed their names, and they tried to change their gods, and they tried to change their diet, and they made them eat other foods. But in Daniel chapter 1 verse 8, it said, but Daniel purpose in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's food, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Notice that Daniel purposed, that he made up his mind. He was determined that he was not going to be shaken off of his commitment. Are you determined today? I heard the story about an evangelist who had 2 prize dogs. And he had them fenced in his backyard. And these prize dogs just had the freedom to just roam throughout the yard. And then one day he was looking out his back window, and a bulldog had dug underneath the fence and came, and his prize dogs just ran at him and just jumped all on him. And the bulldog scurried just to get back under the fence, and he left. He was looking out the window the next day. Bulldog came back under there. This time the prize dogs came, but they didn't come with that much aggression. They didn't have the same determination, but they sent him off running. He had to go do a revival. He would call back, was talking to his wife to see how things were going, And he said, well, how's it going with that with that bulldog and our prize dogs in the back? He said, well, you know, every day that bulldog would climb under the fence and they would run after him. And eventually he claimed one day and they just sat back and just let him run through the yard. The bulldog had determination. He had determination. And we need to have the determination of a bulldog. Again, the victory's already been won. It's already been won. All you have to do is have determination. And I see so many of God's people that are hanging their cloaks, their running clothes on the sideline. And they're sitting down and they're watching life pass them by. They're discouraged. They're frustrated. They are not being used in the kingdom. And they've lost their zeal. They've lost their fire. They've lost their determination. Daniel said, no, that word purpose has to do with the mind. He had his mind right. He wasn't going to let anything back him off of what God called him to do. The third thing that we have to do is have a sincere dedication, a stalwart determination, and I like this right here, a spiritual domination. It says that those who have won the victory, it says that they are steadfast, immovable, always what? Abounding in the work of the Lord. That means that you are going over and above in the work that God has called you to do. That you are walking in supernatural abundance. Let me point out Daniel. Look at Daniel chapter 1 in verse 20. After Daniel took his stand not to eat the king's meat, it says, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than the magicians and astrologers that were in his realm. And Daniel continued even until the first year of Cyrus. That God blessed them supernaturally. That God blessed them with wisdom and understanding because they took a stand for him. The second thing, the king had a dream. Nobody could interpret it. And the king not only wanted them to interpret it, he wanted them to tell them what the dream was. And nobody could do it but Daniel. And Daniel came, told the king what his dream was, and then he interpreted it. Look at verse 48. Verse 48. It says, after he did this, then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and the chief of the governors of all the wise men of Babylon. Then Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon, but Daniel sat in the gate of the king. Daniel got over. Daniel made it large. He made it big. And see, when you make it big, you know what? See, what's the first thing when somebody hits the lottery? What do they want to do? Well, I want to bless my kids. I want to bless my mom and dad. I want to buy somebody a house. I want to buy somebody a car. I want to do all this. But when God blesses you, look what Daniel made it big, and what did he do? He hooked up his partners, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He hooked them up because he had the mindset of a winner. And then when Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, he remained steadfast. And look at Daniel chapter 6 and verse 28. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 28. After Daniel got out of the lion's den, look what it said. And so Daniel prospered. And so Daniel prospered. And so Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. When you take a stand in the victory, God is going to bless you with supernatural abundance. But you got to run the race. You got to have the mindset of a winner. You can't come with the mindset of a loser. And I thought about something, and if you go to the next slide, that at some point in time, winners versus losers, at some point in time, you're going to suffer a loss. I don't care who you are. I don't care who you are. At some point in life, you are going to suffer a loss. And I began to think about this. There are losers who lose, and they stay losers. There are losers who suffer loss, and they stay losers. There are winners who lose, and then they become losers. I look at, you know, some of these people in Hollywood and how they make it big, and in the Oz worlds, they become winners, and then they get hooked on drugs, and then they contract HIV or AIDS because they went into this immoral lifestyle, and they won. They beat the odds. I look at people that these guys go to professional sports. They beat the odds. Only 3% of college football players every year get a chance to go to the NFL. Only 3%. That's 97% that don't even get considered for the NFL. And 3%, a lot of them come from broken backgrounds. And they make it big. And then they get up and they start living large. And you follow some of them, man, it breaks my heart to look and read stories about some of them, how that they're broke now. How that they're hooked on drugs. How that they've been bamboozled and swindled. And they were winners who had a loss and they became losers. Then there are losers who lose, but they figure this thing out. They figure it out and they become winners. And needless to say, that's probably many people that are sitting here today. At once, you might have had a major setback. You might have been a loser in life. And you let people tell you that you were a loser. You let people tear you down and put you down. And then you began to experience loss, and you said to yourself that I'm not going to stay here. I'm not going to let life beat me down. And so there are losers who lose, and they become winners. And again, like I said at the top, at some point in time, all of us are going to suffer a loss. I don't care who you are. You're going to suffer a loss. How are you going to respond to that loss? And there are winners who lose, but they stay winners because they're winners. Where are you up there? You know, I know a lot of people that are losers, and they just rack one loss on top of another, and they never try to get out of that situation. I told you the story about that man who had the mule. He loved the mule. And one day he had to go into town and take care of some business. And he tied his mule up back outside his house. Came back. The mule had eaten through the rope and wandered off. The man looked for the mule. He didn't see him. He was heartbroken. Finally, he heard a noise down in the old abandoned well. And he looked down in there. There was his mule, had wandered off and fell into the well. Man did everything he could to get the mule out. Everything he could. Couldn't get him out. A couple days went by. The man figured that the mule had died. And so he said he didn't die right. He said the least I could do is give him a decent burial. And so he started shoveling dirt and throwing it down into the well. Shoveling dirt and throw it down into the well. All of a sudden he heard a noise. He looked down in the well, and the mule was shaking the dirt off his back, patting it underneath his feet, and growing up a little higher. He learned how to shake the dirt, shake the problems off his back, and pat them underneath his feet, and allow him to grow a little bit higher. And somebody said they heard the mule singing, "I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Lord, help me as I bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground." See, you don't have to let these losses bury you. You don't have to let the losses bury you. But you can shake them off. And you can let them let you get a little bit higher. Somebody said problems can either make you bitter or they can make you better. How are you dealing with it? You're a winner. You got to think like a winner. And then I began to think about some things. If you'll, I guess it's in the notes. I didn't have it on the slide, but it's in the notes. And I began to think about the difference. And you know what's sad? I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be absolutely honest with you. Certain parts of this, I began to think about my own life. And I kind of looked at my life, and I wanted it to be a challenge to me also. And I began to think about what's the difference between a winner and a loser. And winners focus on solutions to their problems. Losers make excuses for their problem. You ever run into somebody that everything that happened, they got an excuse for it? You know, I realize, and I just got to the point, you know, where in my life now, I guess, you know, the older I get, the more I realize some things. And I just realized that, you know, there's no excuse. You know, just be honest. Just say why it didn't happen, why it didn't get done. You don't need to make any excuses. I had a couple situations this last week where I was being accused of something. And I didn't make any excuses. I said, okay, you know, let's roll. Let's find solutions for the problems. Let's not make excuses. Let's find solutions. Winners have vision and goals, but losers wander. This is so sad, so pitiful. Losers wander aimlessly through life. You ask them what their goal is, what their dream is, and they say 5 o'clock. Well, why is 5 o'clock? Because that's when I get off. Wandering aimlessly through life. Winners learn from their problems. Losers blame other people for their problems. You ever see somebody that no matter what happens in their life, it's always somebody else's fault? It's unbelievable. It's always, and that starts right here. That starts with the person not accepting responsibility. And so everything that happens to me is somebody else's fault. Winners are determined and persistent. Losers give up very easily. At the slightest resistance, losers just throw their hands up in the air and give up. Winners are not paralyzed by past failures. Losers are paralyzed. Oh, I don't want to try that again. So they don't want to do anything. They don't want to step out. Winners press through their fears. Losers are paralyzed by their fears. Winners take responsibility for their life. Losers are dependent on other people for their sustenance, for what's going on in their life. Losers are dependent on other people. They're dependent on other people. That they haven't taken their life. They haven't taken responsibility for their life. But they're dependent on other people. Losers desire much effort. They have desire with much effort. They desire something, and then they put out the effort to make it happen. Losers desire, they want a whole lot. They want a whole lot, but they're not willing to put out any effort for it. I think of Proverbs that says, the soul of the sluggard desires, but it has nothing. Winners are self-disciplined. Losers are lazy. Winners make adjustments. Losers make excuses. Jesus Christ is a winner. And Jesus Christ, if you look at his life, he fought like a winner. And it says, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ. Are you thinking like a winner? Are you walking in victory? I don't need to win the lottery. I don't need to hit the jackpot. I'm already rich right now.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of A Degree Beyond Our Reach. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, We're a Winner, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request We're a Winner. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request We're a Winner. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 6 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.